السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، ما يلفظ من قول إلا لديه رقيب عتيد. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: أمسك عليك لسانك ولسعك بيتك وابكي على خطيئتك، او كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Most honorable ulama ikram, beloved brothers and elders, all praises belong to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, our creator, our sustainer, our cherisher, our nourisher. Peace and salutations be upon our noble master, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My beloved brothers, we take this auspicious occasion of Jumu'ah, and in the company of so many pious people, elderly people, ulama ikram, young children, to make dua and to beg and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala bring good conditions to the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We all are well aware of the difficulties, the atrocities that have been meted out to our Muslim brothers and sisters, be it in Palestine, be it in Sudan, be it in the different parts of the world. And we know the profound statements and beautiful ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherein Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam likens the Muslim ummah to one body. The mafhum of the narration, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions to this effect, that the Muslim ummah is like one body. If the head feels pain, then this has an effect on the entire body. So wherever a Muslim is in the world and the Muslim is going through difficulty, the Muslim is going through any challenges, this definitely has an effect on the heart of every believer. So we make dua that Allah Ta'ala's help comes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant victory and nusra to the Muslims in the whole world wherever they are. And also we make dua that Allah give every one of us the tawfiq that we can live our lives in a way which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our discussion for today is with regards to two important aspects, our tongue and our hands. But just to take it a bit further, or to simplify it, our speech and our actions. A great sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And it's so important that more than ever we acquaint ourselves and we link ourselves to the beautiful lives of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because these are people who Quran Kareem explains to us that they are accepted in Allah. In the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are accepted. Radiallahu ta'ala anhum wa radu an. They are pleased with Allah, Allah ta'ala is pleased with them. So if we bring our lives and we mold our lives on their lives, then as the beautiful verse of Quran explains to us, وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُهُمْ بِإِحْسَانٍ. Whoever will follow them, whoever will emulate them, then they will also enjoy that they will be pleased with Allah and Allah will be pleased with them. So a great sahabi, Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he asks a very beautiful and pertinent question to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. See how they made our deen so beautiful for us. He asked, Ya Rasulullah, Ayyul Islami Afdal? O kama qal. He said, O Nabi of Allah, which is the most virtuous deed that a person can do in this deen of ours? What is the most virtuous and the best? Nabi Sassam said, Al-Muslimun man salim al-Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadihi. O kama qal. See how beautifully Rasulullah Sassam explained it to us. He said, a true Muslim is that Muslim whom other Muslims would be protected from his speech and his actions, his tongue and his hands. Hazrat Uqba bin Amir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, another great sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, look at his question. He asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, man najah? In what lies our salvation? Now what's the beauty of these questions? The beauty of these questions is, these are day-to-day things which crosses the mind of every person. How can I be the best? What can I do that would make me the best? What can I do that would make me successful? This is things that cross our mind daily. But the beauty is the manner in which I did for us. He said, you don't have to do big things. If you do the simple things and you do it right, then you'll also be successful. You'll also be doing the best of deeds. In this hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam answered Hazrat Uqba bin Amir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he said to him that three things Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him. He said, Amsik alayka lisanak. Some narrations come Amlik. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying to us that you take control of your tongue. You be the one under whose control this tongue is. Meaning, weigh your words. Don't just say something. Don't just speak anything. As a mu'min, as a Muslim, as a believer, a Muslim will always be cognizant who he's speaking to. Speaking to an elder, there's a way you'll speak. Speaking to a young person, speaking to your contemporary, there's a way you'll speak. So, Nabi Sallam said, you take control of this tongue. Remain in your home, and wabki ala khati'atik, cry over your sins. So we just want to focus a bit on this tongue and our actions, and the impact that it can have if we don't control it. And the impact that it will have if we don't use it for good, and we don't use it for positive things. The damage of one person's wrong statement, the damage of one person's incorrect words, can very often have a direct impact on the entire society. Quran Kareem gives us many examples like this. In fact, many incidents the Quran Kareem, sometimes direct incidents, sometimes indirect. One such incident is the incident which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of in the 18 Juz. Famous incident, you probably heard it many times in this masjid. But Quran is not entertainment, rather Quran is for us to read over and over and ponder and use the Quran Kareem to become better people, to become closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to fall in love with the blessed way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this incident is about our honorable mother, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, which is mentioned in the 18 Juz. In the narrations in Bukhari Sharif, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha mentions this incident herself. It's a famous incident which is known as the incident of Ifk. Meaning, where a false accusation was placed upon our mother, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Now it's not an easy incident to speak about, because naturally every person has a deep-seated love for his mother. And the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed them with such status and honor that the Quran Kareem emphatically, very very clearly mentions their position. وَأَزْوَاتُهُ أُمَّهَاتُكُمْ. That the blessed wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they are the mothers of this ummah. However, in the end of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, towards the end of the incident, we will see it, Allah ta'ala highlights the high and lofty position of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha wa arda. May Allah ta'ala be pleased with her. And may Allah ta'ala instill in our hearts respect, izzat and honor for the family members, for the sahaba, for all the companions of Rasulullah and for every mu'min and every believer. That we don't become a means of saying something wrong, spreading wrong information, or doing anything that causes harm to the heart of any person. Really, if we can live our life like that, then truly we'll be successful in this world and in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. And ultimately, that is what we all are aiming for. Our life, in reality, we're aiming to live a life that Allah must be pleased with us. And when we close our eyes, we meet Allah in a condition that Allah is pleased with us. May Allah bless us with all of that. So this happens on the occasion of the expedition of Mustalib. As Aisha radiallahu anha mentions that it was the habit of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was his way that very often when he would travel, and sometimes he would draw lots, and whichever wife's turn would come, then they would accompany Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So she says, on this occasion it was her turn. It's a lengthy incident, I'm going to try and make it as short as possible. So long and short of it, she said she had left her carriage. They had a very special carriage that was made for the woman at that time, because they were particular about parda, they were particular about hijab, etc. So she said she was in her carriage, and obviously she went out, she went to get something, or she went to relieve herself, whatever it was. And those people who were responsible for carrying her carriage, she says, because the woman were light weighted at that time, it's possible they thought she's in the carriage, and they moved on. So when she came and she realized that this is what has happened, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the army has moved on. Obviously she was a very, very intelligent person, more than 2,210 ahadith, approximately 2,210 ahadith is narrated. So we can well understand the level of intelligence that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed. When she realized that this is what has happened, she waited. She remained in the very spot where the carriage was, and she thought to herself, she said, that it is the way of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that somebody will remain behind, or they will realize now that she's not there, and somebody will come. And normally when you lose something, then generally you'll go back to the first place where you had it last. So she thought along those lines and she waited. So she mentions that the Sahabi Hazrat Safwan radiallahu ta'ala, he came and he had recognized her because he had seen her before the verses of hijab were revealed. What an important point. That means this shows us that the importance of hijab, the importance and the compulsion that we should encourage our women folk, that this is an important injunction in deen, that they should make sure that they cover themselves properly. So when he seen her, he said, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un." She said, that was the only words that I heard come out of his mouth. He lowered the conveyance and he moved away. She got onto the conveyance and he leads her now to join the rest of the army. As we see in the day and age that we live in and throughout the eras, you must get the propaganda machine. And this was always the way of the enemy, to create false information, to spread false information. So the Ra'isul Munafiq, the head of all the hypocrites, Abdullah bin Ubay bin Sulul, he seized the opportunity. She said, Safwan radiallahu anhu brought her, he never spoke to her, in a very respectable manner, he led her through and he joined her with the rest of the people when they entered Medina Munawwara. And this is the point and the highlight of our discussion today and the take home point, that one wrong utterance and you would see the ill effect of it. So when he seen this, he seized the opportunity. And he started making statements, and also some of the ulama ikram explained it so beautifully like this. He was so cunning in his statements, after all he was a hypocrite, that he didn't even speak direct words. He sort of gave some ambiguous statements and indications that, you know, I saw Aisha with Safwan radiallahu ta'ala anha, you know, I don't know what you think, what happened. Along this lines, indicating that maybe something happened, na'udhu billah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cleared her completely of this in the Quran Kareem, which highlights and shows her honor and her izzah. But see what his statement did. One wrong word, one incorrect statement, and what it does to the entire society. So for a period of approximately 1 month, wahi was withheld. Now he starts this rumor, he starts this accusation, and this thing is going around. Until one night, Aisha radiallahu anha mentions herself, for an entire month this thing is carrying on. So she goes out to relieve herself. Those days, they had a designated place, and she went. So her family member was with her, Umme Mista. She said, Umme Mista tsipped, and when she tsipped, she made a statement. And she said, Ta'isa Mista. May Mista be cursed. Now look at the pure, what a pure woman Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala was, who he accused, such a pure person. She said to Hazrat Mista that, listen, how can you make a statement like Umme Mista? You're cursing Mista. Mista is a Badri sahabi. You can't speak about him like that. And thus is your son. So Umme Mista turned around and said, Aisha, where are you living? Don't you know what's happening? One entire month is, people are speaking about you. Aren't you, you're not aware? Now look at this, there's a very important point. Something is happening in the town. This noise is going around in the whole society. And every era has what you would call its propaganda. In our day and age, you want to call it Facebook, or you want to call it Twitter, whatever you want to call it. More often than not, you end up being a twit face, nevertheless. But every era has its propaganda. But look at her pureness, and how she never involved herself in things which wasn't important and things which she shouldn't get herself involved in. Really, we can learn so much from her life. Such a great person Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us with, and so much we can learn from her life.
that for an entire month people are speaking ill about her. This rumor mongering is going on and she's not aware of it. She doesn't know nothing. She doesn't know what. So eventually Umm Mista explains, when she says, Aisha, this is what's happening. This is the rumors. This is what's going around. She said, you know, in simple words, I lost hope. And she said, at that moment in time, I wasn't well. And I did notice that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he wasn't his usual self. He would ask about my health, but he wasn't asking directly. He was asking about me, but I never thought anything much of it. So she said, then I went to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I sought his permission. I said, O Nabi of Allah, if you will allow me, I want to go home. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi gave her permission, so she went to the home of her mother. So when she meets her mother, she bursts out crying once again, and she's now telling her mother and asking, Mommy, oh my mother, do you know what's happening? Are you aware of all of this? So her mother comforts her, and her mother tells her, Aisha, don't worry, when a woman is beloved to her husband, and a woman is very beautiful, then you'll get this type of thing. So her mother was trying to comfort her, and tell her, don't worry, don't look much into all of this. Then she asked, she said, is Nabi Sassam aware of this as well? And when they informed her, they said, yes, Nabi Sassam is aware of this. She said, then she broke down completely. She said she was so broken that women who would come to visit her, when they would see her state of depression, when they would see how she was, you know, broken and in despair, they would just look at her and they would also start to cry. Now again, I'm reiterating this point because it's a point that has to be hit home hard to myself firstly and to all of us. Weigh our words. What we say has a repercussion. What we say and what we do, you know, there is consequences to it. Undoubtedly and undisputedly, the greatest home ever in the entire creation of Allah was the home of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That home has to go through all of this because of one man's evil statement. To such an extent that now it starts to create problems between the companions as well. And then it reaches a point, I'm just cutting it short because my time is almost up, but it reaches a point where imagine for a moment what a position this evil, wretched person put Rasulullah SAW through, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had to come to the home of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Such a close relationship. One is son-in-law, one is that Nabi SAW is the son-in-law of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. That is besides the point. But such closeness, such friendship. Nabi SAW said, if I had to take a friend besides Allah in this world, I would have taken Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Nabi SAW said that every person in this world, I've thanked him. O kama qal, I've thanked him. I've been good to him and I've thanked him for whatever he's done. Except for Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. That Abu Bakr, not on one occasion, on many occasions, whatever he had, he came and he gave it for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has to come and sit before Abu Bakr, before Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, and he has to have a conversation. And he has to ask Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, oh Aisha, if you made a mistake, then say you made a mistake, Allah will forgive you. And if you didn't do it, say that you didn't do anything. Now imagine again, one evil statement. How many people's lives are affected? The Aus and Khazraj in the masjid almost came to blows. It almost reached the position where they were now going to fight. And this is what the hypocrite wanted. He wanted to sow the seed of discord amongst the Muslims. This is what he wanted to do. But one statement, that's all he took. And Medina Munawwara is in a disarray for an entire month. Allah would held wahi. Ulama tell us why. To show us if this tongue is used in the incorrect manner, that its harm would not only be to you, but it would harm the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nevertheless, she says something. She said that, you know, at that time I looked at my father and I said, oh my father, answer on my behalf. Nabi said, oh Aisha, what can I say? Who can speak? You're sitting in front of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She said, oh my mother, say something. Eventually she said that I leave this matter to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in her honor, Allah Rabbul Izzat revealed 10 verses of the Qur'an Kareem. 10 verses of the Qur'an Kareem to show the ummah that that man is an emphatic liar. Whatever he said is lies. And our blessed mother, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, is absolutely pure. She is from the pure wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And all his allegations are false. But one or two important things before we terminate very quickly. When this entire thing was happening, now look at the cleanliness of speech and actions of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala says a beautiful thing. She says, I will never forget Zainab binti Jahash. Zainab binti Jahash was her co-wife. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in this whole matter, he took some mashara from different people. He asked Hazrat Zaid radiallahu ta'ala, he said, look, we only know positive things about Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. He asked Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Ali gave him the mashara, look, why don't you speak to the servant? She's in the home, she knows her. She spoke to the servant, she said, look, I know Aisha only to be a good woman. Yes, sometimes when she's kneading the dough, she'll be a bit, you know, sometimes it happens, you a bit forgetful. But other than that, no complaints. But she said, the person I'll never forget, and this is a beautiful lesson for all of us to learn, is Hazrat Zainab binti Jahash. She said she was my co-wife. And both of us were very similar in our relationship to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In manner of how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam liked and loved both of us. They were both, you know, excelled in many aspects. But she said, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked her, Zainab, what is your opinion on Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha? Allahu Akbar. This is why I say, brothers, we have to take our cue from the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Abdullah bin Mas'ud said, أَبَرَّهَا قُلُوبًا وَأَعْمَقَهَا عِلْمًا وَأَقَلَّهَا تَكَلُّفًا, he said their hearts were pure. They were people whose hearts were pure. That's why Allah Ta'ala chose them for the companionship of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She said in clear words, absolutely clear, crystal clear, for one and all to understand. She said, O Nabi of Allah, I only know Aisha to be a good person. I know no evil of Aisha. There's nothing bad or anything incorrect that I can say regarding her. All I can say is that she is a good person. She had the opportunity if she wanted. If she wanted, she could have said something very simple that could have created a doubt. She could have said something negative and it would have worked in her favor. These are the words of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. But she said, on that occasion, she spoke the truth. On that occasion, her tongue. So here was Abdullah bin Ubay bin Sulul who used his tongue to sow discord. And here was the beautiful companions who used the same tongue and actions to bring goodness and positiveness in within the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So our message for today is that Allah has blessed us with the tongue and Allah has blessed us with our hands and our actions. Let's use this in an avenue to please Allah and try our best that we never ever use it to displease Allah and to be a means of harm and discomfort to any believer. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.